Here is the third news bulletin in English in tonight's program for North America. The German High Command announces, at the end of this day, all vital Norwegian military bases are in German hands. Narvik, Drontheim, Bergen, Stavanger, Kristiansand, and other bases are occupied by strong German detachments. Everywhere where a stronger resistance was offered, as for instance at Oslo and Kristiansand, it was broken by German troops. The coastal fortifications which were taken by the joint efforts of the German Navy, Air Force, and shock troops, now supported by strong detachments of the German Air Force, are ready to repulse enemy attacks. This evening, German Air Force units, which are now stationed at Norwegian aerodromes, inflicted heavy losses on a joint detachment of the French and British Navy. According to reports received thus far, two battleships and two heavy cruisers were hit by bombs. Peace reigns in Denmark and Norway. The advance of stronger German detachments, unhampered now by hostile resistance, proceeds in quick order. Strong units of the German Air Force started this afternoon from Denmark and Norway in search of enemy naval units. Enemy battleships, heavy and light cruisers, as well as destroyers, were sighted in the northern part of the North Sea. According to wireless reports received thus far, the following enemy naval units were hit by bombs of heavy caliber. Two battleships, each one receiving three direct hits, and two heavy cruisers. One of these ships lays motionless, showing a marked list, while another one is in flames. The Deutsche Diplomatisch-Politische Korrespondenz writes tonight, the Western powers are extremely upset by the prompt consequences of the military attack they made upon Norwegian territorial waters on April the 8th with the intention of drawing Scandinavia into the plutocratic war front. This attack on Norway's neutrality was, quote, an unprovoked aggression, unquote, in the truest sense. Even the Norwegian Foreign Minister Koht had to admit this fact on the day following the Anglo-French act of force. The Western powers had obviously known that they could count upon Norway making no serious protest, let alone taking any effective steps against the Anglo-French aggression. Norway had thus become a basis for military operations of the Western plutocracies. Germany watched this game of tricks and intrigues, and she took action when the time had come. Nobody can blame Germany for having failed to warn the neutrals of what would happen if they allowed themselves to be drawn into the snares of the Western powers. On the other hand, the German notes to Denmark and Norway prove that Germany has no intention to impair by her actions the territorial integrity or the political independence of either Norway or Denmark. The British House of Commons met today, as Reuter puts it, in an air of depressed excitement. The members were thinking of another British government failure and of how English arbitrary action of Monday had only made the outlook still darker for Great Britain. Mr. Chamberlain delivered one of his weakest speeches to the waiting House. He tried to excuse England's laying of mines in Norwegian waters with notably small success. To questions of whether he was going to call a session of what is left of the League of Nations, he was non-committal, but he hoped, he said, that every member would do its duty. That England expects everyone else to do what England calls his duty is a familiar theme indeed. England had, said Mr. Chamberlain, assured the Norwegian government that England would now fight the war in full cooperation with Norway. This was certainly a doubtful offer to a government which a day before had used the strongest terms which diplomacy allows to denounce arbitrary English breaches of Norwegian neutrality. Mr. Chamberlain's offer smacked sadly of another fatal British offer of guarantee or help. Perhaps the most remarkable example of Mr. Chamberlain's shaky logic was his attempt to destroy the German claim that Germany's act came as a result of England's aggressive breaches of Norwegian neutrality. Mr. Chamberlain said that the German advance was all too well planned and progressed too smoothly to be a reply to an act of yesterday. Mr. Chamberlain's friends, however, may remember that England's advance against Scandinavia has been the subject of public comment throughout the world, and especially in England, for months. Meanwhile, the only official British act reported is the closing of all English mail services to Denmark, Estonia, Finland, Greenland, Latvia, Lithuania, Norway, and Sweden. But then, of course, the English are expert at interfering with mail, as every American knows. Berlin is continuing the third news bulletin in English in tonight's program for North America. The occupation of Denmark by German troops has made the British public anxious about the continuation of food supplies from Denmark. In an attempt to alleviate this anxiety, Lord Woolton, the British food minister, made a statement today asserting that Great Britain's food supplies were in no danger and that, at least for the time being, rations in England would not be curtailed. Lord Woolton hoped that it will be possible to buy additional food elsewhere. The Commander-in-Chief of the British Naval Forces in the Mediterranean has requested all Danish and Norwegian ships to put into British Mediterranean ports without delay. This extraordinary request allows the conclusion that the British government has the intention of confiscating these ships and of dispossessing the Danish and Norwegian owners. Danish and Norwegian captains would therefore be well advised to avoid confiscation of their ships by the British authorities and to make immediately for neutral, if possible, Italian or Spanish ports in the Mediterranean. London political circles, according to reports via Amsterdam, are now considering the possibility that in other parts of Europe, the Allies may take steps similar to those undertaken against Norway. Although no concrete figures on the planned measures against other neutral states are available, the demand is raised that the Allies should adopt all measures which might contain the prospect of weakening Germany. England evidently is still speculating on extending the war area. Furthermore, she brutally wishes to disregard the neutrality of the European countries in order to play them off against Germany. Is it surprising, therefore, when Germany gives a lightning reply to each British attempt? England cannot be astonished, if we are of the same opinion, whenever it is a question of weakening England. According to a report from Amsterdam, the Dutch General Headquarters have stopped leave for all officers and soldiers stationed at the Dutch coast and frontiers. On account of the latest events, air traffic between Amsterdam and the Scandinavian countries has been interrupted, says a report from Holland. In commemoration of the 75th anniversary of the birth of General Erich Ludendorff, the commanding general of the 7th Army Corps, General Wachenfeld, placed a laurel wreath from the Führer on the grave of the famous general. Other wreaths were presented by generals von Brauchitsch, Halder, and Reinhardt. Berlin is continuing the third news bulletin in English for North America. The Deputy Rice Protector for Bohemia and Moravia, State Secretary Karl Hermann Frank, yesterday addressed the press on the occasion of the first publication of the periodical Bohemia and Moravia, which will treat questions relating to the protectorate. The problems of this part of Europe, said State Secretary Frank, are by now definitely solved to the satisfaction of all parties involved. The protectorate is today the most secure and most peaceful section in Europe. The strong Reich stands as a guardian on the borders of the protectorate. Touching on the unemployment problem, the State Secretary pointed out that from March 1938 until March 1940, the number of unemployed dropped from roughly 150,000 to 19,000. At the same time, over 83 million Czech crowns were sent over by Czechs who volunteered to work in the Reich to their families in the protectorate. The wage standard in the meantime rose by 25%, and the export trade of the protectorate could be maintained at a very high level despite the war. Referring to the press question, State Secretary Frank pointed out that all Czech dailies continue to appear in the past, as in the past. A clear indication of the people's attitude, stated State Secretary Frank, is the fact that the papers showing a friendliness towards Germany boast of a large circulation, while that of indifferent papers is decreasing steadily. The complaints about the aged British ministers and the still more aged members of the British Parliament do not stop in the United Kingdom. One could expect that the war would pep up the Parliament, writes the London Daily Mirror of yesterday. But according to this British paper, the old lack of system and the traditional pomposity are still adorning the meetings of the British Parliament. A few unflattering but very interesting pen portraits of some of the British ministers close this most revealing article. According to the Daily Mirror, Chamberlain is more circuitous than accurate. Commonplaceness characterizes the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Sir John Simon, while the Minister of Labour usually talks nonsense or yells. Mr. Bergen, Minister of Supplies, usually gets lost in his own torrent of words, while the Secretary for War, Stanley, seeks safety in silence and discretion. This all helps to explain the existence of the wide gulf separating the British government from the Labour Party, the gulf which is constantly underlined at all meetings of the British Party. Germany is fighting for the removal of an injustice. The others are fighting for its preservation.
A portion of the British fleet to the west of Bergen this afternoon, a communique from German headquarters announced late tonight. The Air Force included planes which had taken off from their new bases in Denmark and Norway. This portion of the British fleet, the communique added, was composed of battleships, heavy and light cruisers, as well as destroyers. According to preliminary reports, two battleships were squarely hit by three bombs of maximum caliber. Two heavy cruisers were struck by several bombs. A warship remained motionless and listed heavily. Another warship was set on fire. The communique stated that all important strategic points of Norway had been occupied by the German forces. These points included Narvik, Trondheim, Bergen, Stavanger, Kristiansand, and Oslo. Calm prevailed in Denmark and Norway, the communique stated. The advance of strong additional German forces was proceeding smoothly. London. A statement issued by the British Admiralty tonight minimized the damage which, according to German claims, was inflicted on some units of the Home Fleet off Bergen. The Admiralty statement reads, "The German assertion that two British battleships and two cruisers were hit by bombs is incorrect. The truth is that the battleships were not hit at all, while the two cruisers were only slightly struck by bomb splinters." Berlin. Operations for the occupation of Denmark and the Norwegian coastline were carried out today in accordance with the plan arranged in advance, a communique issued by the German headquarters announced late this evening. The landing and the advance into Denmark took place without any incidents. On the Norwegian coast, stiff resistance was met only in the vicinity of Oslo. Such resistance was overcome this afternoon, and shortly thereafter, Oslo was occupied. An earlier communique announced that the Danish government had ordered its armed forces not to offer resistance to the Germans. The airfields in the Jutland and southern Norway had been occupied by the German air forces. An official statement issued late tonight stated that important air units participated in the occupation of Norway and Denmark. Several airports were occupied in both countries. From early morning, the German aviation effected reconnaissance flights over a wide radius, including the North Sea. Protection flights were made off Norway's western coast, while pursuit planes effected barrage flights off the Danish coast and over the Bay of Helgoland. Stockholm. A German destroyer, seriously damaged by gunfire, entered the harbor of Oslo this afternoon. Thus, the report that German warships had been engaged in a battle with Norwegian warships and Norwegian coast batteries was confirmed. Rumors were rife in Stockholm tonight that the German battlecruiser Nysnor, 26,000 tons with a capacity of 1,500 men, sank off Oslo. The rumors have not been confirmed by any responsible sources so far. Berlin. The British naval base at Scapa Flow has been once more successfully attacked by the German Air Force, a communique from German headquarters announced today. The attack took place last night and was carried out by fighting units. Two large warships, including a battleship, were seriously damaged by the attackers' bombs, according to the communique. Three other big units, near which bombs exploded, sustained considerable damage. Extensive reconnaissance flights were effected over the North Sea and over North and Southern France. Two British planes were brought down and two Germans failed to return to their bases. Berlin. According to official quarters, resistance by Norwegians to the Germans can be considered as crushed everywhere. The same quarters denied that bombs were dropped by German airplanes over Oslo today. Oslo. Occupation of the Norwegian capital by German troops took place without any incidents. The population lined up along the streets when the Germans made their entry. The German commander established his headquarters in the police building. Stockholm. Telephone communications between Oslo and Stockholm were restored tonight. It was thus learned that the city was calm and offered no resistance to the German troops. It was noticed that many German officers entered Oslo on board automobiles together with Norwegian army officers. Oslo. The Norwegian cabinet, presided by Mr. Nygaardsvold, resigned this evening. A national concentration government replaced it. It is headed by Mr. Vidkun Quisling. The new government issued a proclamation to the country in which the Norwegian people are urged to desist from any further resistance, which the proclamation said would be equivalent to a criminal destruction of the country's wealth. The proclamation deplored acts of the past government for having protested too mildly against the violation of Norwegian neutrality by the Anglo-French allies and appealed to the army to lend its support to the national government. Premier Quisling also assumed the foreign affairs portfolio. Oslo. The royal family of Norway this afternoon moved to Hamar, where the government had established its seat this morning. Copenhagen. The Danish capital is perfectly calm and life is going on normally. The Danish radio stations are broadcasting as usual. German troops occupy the strategic points of the city. The occupation of the Jutland Peninsula has given rise to no incidents. A blackout throughout Denmark until further notice was ordered by the government today. Stockholm. At the conclusion of a secret session of the Swedish Parliament, Prime Minister Hansen announced that Germany had sent a note to the Swedish government in which the hope was expressed that Sweden will maintain the strictest neutrality. The Stockholm government replied that neutrality will be completely observed, as Sweden has done since the outbreak of war. The Swedish government, therefore, reserved to itself full freedom of action as well as the right to take any measures considered necessary for the preservation and defense of such neutrality. London. Prime Minister Chamberlain told the House of Commons that assurances had been given to the Norwegian government that Great Britain had decided to go to the immediate aid and assistance of Norway and that the Allies would fight side by side with her. He also announced that British warships were steaming towards Norway and declined to give any detail concerning the operations they will be engaged in. Copenhagen. King Christian and the Danish government today issued a proclamation in which the country was urged to face with the utmost calm the situation determined by the German occupation. It is the duty of the Danish people, the government proclamation stated, to abstain from any resistance to the German troops. The Danish government will make every effort to guarantee the security of the population in face of the unpleasant consequences resulting from the state of war. The proclamation of King Christian said that in view of the situation, the king urged the inhabitants of the cities in the country to maintain a calm and dignified attitude. Any uncalled for word or action might give rise to the most serious consequences. London. An official communique issued at the conclusion of the Allied Supreme War Council, which was held in London this afternoon, stated that complete accord prevailed over the various military and diplomatic questions examined by the Council. Monsieur Reynaud and Daladier, who had come from Paris by plane, attended the session. British official quarters were unable to confirm an American radio announcement that an Anglo-French expeditionary force was en route to Norway. The conference between British ministers and British diplomatic representatives in the Balkans was postponed indefinitely as a result of the developments in Scandinavia. Moscow. The German ambassador to Moscow had a long conference with the Foreign Affairs Commissar, Monsieur Molotov, this afternoon. London. Answering a question in the House of Commons, the British Minister for Food stated that Germany's action in Scandinavia would not affect the supply of Norwegian and Danish foodstuffs for Great Britain, since there were large reserves in the country and measures had been taken so that foodstuffs should reach England with the utmost speed. Belgrade. The report by a foreign news agency that Yugoslavia had decided to curtail her exports to Germany was categorically denied by the Avala official news agency. Rome. His Royal Highness the Duke of Aosta, Viceroy of Ethiopia, made a long report to Signor Mussolini concerning the situation and the problems of the empire. General Attilio Teruzzi, Minister for Colonies, was present at the report. Today, Il Duce decided to increase the salaries and pensions of civil servants by 10%, effective on April the 27th. Rome. Germany's lightning-like move in Scandinavia, of which Il Duce was informed in due time, and the developments of which are being communicated to the fascist government, is viewed with calm by both the Italian press and public opinion here. The press contends that these new developments were bound to come as a result of the British attitude towards neutrals. The situation was ripe, and the new phase of the war, which had its beginning this morning, is only its logical consequence, is felt here. The Giornale d'Italia points out that from a military point of view, the German occupation of Danish and Norwegian territories is an immediate answer to the open violation of Norwegian neutrality by the Anglo-French allies. The Allies, the Giornale says, made a big political mistake in taking the initiative of violating the neutrality of smaller countries. This played into Germany's hands and gave her a good justification for her action. The Tribuna states that the extension of the war to Scandinavia was part of Churchill's plan to hasten the economic strangling of Germany, also from the north. The occupation of Denmark, Norway, and Sweden had thus become a pivot in the British plan. Germany, by this plan, would have been deprived of Swedish iron ore and would have been surrounded from the Baltic as well. The laying of mines in Norwegian territorial waters was a true act of war and, in a way, an occupation of a country not engaged in war. In brief, a prelude to military occupation. Germany, however, has once more stolen a march on her enemies and, without waiting for a diplomatic clarification of the situation, has taken care of her defense in a lightning-like manner. This, the Tribuna affirms, was the only way to prevent and offset an unavoidable advance by the Allies. What has taken place in the last 24 hours will unquestionably have an enormous influence over the future development of the war. And that concludes the 8th edition of the Radio Roma News Service in English.